Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
I think everybody loves the story of an underdog that fights through adversity and breaks the mold of what is thought as to be normal. In this episode, we share the story of an undersized NFL quarterback that had a brilliant career and some others that share a similar NFL story, beating the odds as an undersized signal caller. It's all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to the Pig Pen, your cyber sanctuary for sports history. Just take a few minutes of each of your day to go back in history and football and learn a little bit more to fill that football noggin full of great information that you can share with some others. So, you know, just a couple things. We'd love you to have you join our newsletter. We have an email newsletter going out each and every day. You can join it by the show notes of this podcast. There's a link on the homepage of our website, pigskindispatch.com. There's an email subscribe button up in the upper banner there. You can find it and click on that. Or simply type this into your browser, pigskindispatch.com/i, uppercase letter U, letter G, uppercase. That's pigskindispatch.com/i, U, G, for the email newsletter subscription link. You can only takes a couple seconds to do. Also, follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Facebook, we are at Pigskin Dispatch as well. You can email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Now, let's get into our topic today. You know, we all love that story of the underdog, you know, rooting for the little guy, the team that's not supposed to win, the player that's not supposed to do a certain thing. Well, that's what our case is today. And I came across a very interesting story of a quarterback in football history, in particular NFL history, Eddie LeBaron. And he's a very interesting fellow. And it's going to take us into something else of some undersized quarterbacks. So let's first learn about Eddie and his story. Eddie LeBaron, he stood 5'7" tall and weighed in at 160 pounds when George Preston Marshall and the Washington Redskins signed him to their team to replace the recently retired franchise quarterback Sammy Baugh. Now, Marshall was thought he could be put a little fear into the opposition when he listed Eddie in the program at 5'9", you know, 2 inches taller than he really was, and some 20 pounds heavier at 180. But nothing could make up for the extra height and weight any better than the big heart and the desire to play hard. LeBaron played quarterback in the NFL for 11 seasons. And for all of them, he was the shortest and lightest of all the players in the league. 7 in Washington and 4 with the Dallas Cowboys was his career. That career spanned through the 1950s and early 1960s. He completed 50% of his passes for over 13,390 yards and 104 touchdown passes. Not bad for that era of football. It was more run heavy back then, remember? And with running, the clock goes faster, you have less plays, and yada yada. Now, Eddie made the NFL Pro Bowl after the 1956 season. And since it was a very special game, he invited his wife to come in attendance of the game. Now, Eddie took the spotlight and really showed how good he could play as his East squad snuck past the West team in a tight game. Now, the larger guys on the West, they were none too happy that the little guy played so well. When he met the misses outside the locker room, one of those defenders that were a little miffed approached Eddie and said, "You little son of a bitch, I'll get you next year." And that was Big Daddy Lipscomb, who stood 6'9" tall and weighed over 300 pounds. Now, Mrs. LeBaron, not knowing much about the game of football and its gamesmanship, repeatedly told her husband that she wanted him to quit the game right on the spot before that giant person would kill Eddie. Now, just a little bit of an interesting story there, and you know, how brave that guy must have been to, you know, the players were a little bit shorter there, but, you know, Big Daddy Lipscomb, 6'9", coming at him. That's big in any era, that's for sure. Now, with that, it made me want to think about some of the undersized quarterbacks of the more modern era and some of the eras that maybe we had watched of all of football. In the modern NFL, the prototypical height of a starting quarterback is 6'3" tall. Now, we've seen many signal callers below this mythical line succeed and even thrive in the league, though. And here are a few to chew on that bucked the system of the experts and played a little shorter than what maybe the experts wanted them to be. How about Drew Brees? He was listed as 6 foot even and not a smidgen more. Surely he couldn't thrive in the NFL, could he? Well, the San Diego Chargers certainly shipped him off early in his career when they drafted a much taller Phillip Rivers, whose size fit the mold of a good-sized quarterback. But Brees was traded to the New Orleans Saints and not only won an NFL title and was a Super Bowl MVP, but he set numerous NFL passing records. These include the most passing yards, 80,358, the most completions, 7,142, the most seasons with over 5,000 yards of passing, and a handful of other NFL records that it's going to be tough for somebody to break. With all that, he might have just been tall enough to see over the line. What do you think? Well, another player, Russell Wilson, stands only 5'11". He won the Lombardi Trophy already in his career and led his team to 2 Super Bowls so far and is a 9-time Pro Bowler. Still going, too. In 2022, he was traded from the Seattle Seahawks, where he spent his earlier part of his career, to the Denver Broncos. Thus far, he has over 37,000 yards, 292 touchdown passes, and Russell uses every inch of his size to help provide victory. And the guy is a gamer. How many times has he escaped some tackles and made some amazing plays on the run and falling down, and passes are right on a dime to where they got to be. Now, Doug Flutie, who stood just over 5'10" high, but this guy had heart and gritty determination. He bounced between the USFL, the NFL, and the CFL in his career and was a fan favorite and a playmaker almost everywhere he played. His professional career spanned over 3 decades, and he recorded 8 come-from-behind wins in his time in the NFL. In the CFL, that's where he really shined. He won 3 Grey Cup titles as a member of the BC Lions, Calgary Stampeders, and Toronto Argonauts. Flutie was named the CFL's most outstanding player a record 6 times. Michael Vick. You know, there's another guy that was shorter on the scale, 6 foot tall even. He made it to 4 Pro Bowls, and what an exciting player he was, especially early in his career. He was sort of the face of the NFL there for a while until he got into some of the troubles that he got into, but playing small, but played fast and very effective. Fran Tarkenton, another 6 foot even quarterback who played in the late 60s and 1970s, 9 Pro Bowls, and played in 3 different Super Bowls, mostly with the Minnesota Vikings, had a stint with the New York Giants as well, but a very effective scrambler and passer, Fran Tarkenton. Len Dawson, another 6'0" tall. All he did was become the MVP of Super Bowl IV and become enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sonny Jurgensen, he was 5'11" tall, and during his playing days won 3 passing titles on his way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including 1 at the age of 40. Move over, Tom Brady. Joe Theismann, another Washington Redskins quarterback, 6 foot tall even, was the NFL MVP in 1983, made it to 2 Pro Bowls, and helped the Washington Redskins win a Super Bowl. And a third Redskins quarterback, I guess fourth if you count Eddie LeBaron, Billy Kilmer, 6 foot tall, was a solid quarterback and even backed up both Jurgensen and Theismann at different points during his career. He also started 124 games, made it to the Pro Bowl in 1972, and eventually finding his way into the Redskins' Ring of Honor. I'm not sure what they call it now. Maybe the Commander's Ring of Honor, I guess we should call it now. And some guys to watch right now that maybe have a chance to this. You know, one obvious choice, Kyler Murray, standing at 5'10" tall, and Baker Mayfield, just slightly under that prototypical 6'3". He stands at 6'1" tall, looking probably for a team here soon, as the Browns may trade him or cut him or do something since they picked up Deshaun Watson. But, you know, just some great quarterbacks that really have achieved well, and we're expecting more from guys like Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, too. Just put some excitement into the game, some offensive talent, and they use their size to the best of its ability, so you don't have to be that prototypical size to be successful. So we hope you enjoyed this little bit of history. Hope you'll join us more for some more great history, and each and every day here on PigskinDispatch.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.